Scripture Stories is a program for you, the children. As you listen, remember that these stories are about real people who lived long ago. Read along with us. You'll find these stories in the Scripture Stories books published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have your mother, father, teacher, or friend help you find the story and invite them to read along with you, too. If you remember last week, we read the story about the Zoramites and the Ramiumtum. The Zoramites had once belonged to God's church, but had become wicked and were worshiping idols. The Nephites wanted to keep the Zoramites from joining the Lamanites, so Alma went with some of the other missionaries to preach the word of God to the Zoramites. These missionaries were surprised and upset at how the Zoramites were worshiping in their churches called synagogues. In the center of the church, the Zoramites had built a high platform called the Ramiumtum. There was room for only one person to stand at the top. The Zoramites took turns standing there, reaching toward heaven and loudly reciting the same prayer. In this prayer, the Zoramites said God does not have a body. He's only a spirit. They also said there would be no Christ. The Zoramites thought God had chosen only them to be saved in the kingdom of heaven. They gave thanks for being his favorite people. After each of the Zoramites had prayed, they went home and did not pray or talk about God again for an entire week. The wealthy Zoramites loved gold and silver, and they bragged about their worldly treasures. Alma was sad to see how wicked they were. Alma prayed for him and his missionaries to have strength, comfort, and success in their work. After asking for help to bring the Zoramites back to the truth, Alma and the other missionaries were filled with the Holy Ghost. The missionaries then went in separate directions to preach. God blessed them with food and clothing and strengthened them in their work. Zoramites who were poor were not allowed inside the churches. These people began listening to the missionaries. Many asked Alma what they should do. Alma told them they did not need to be inside a church to pray or to worship God. He told them to have faith in God. Then Amulek taught them about Jesus Christ and about God's plan for his children. The missionaries left, and the Zoramites, who had believed them, were thrown out of the city. The believers went to live in the land of Jershon with the people of Ammon. Although the wicked Zoramites threatened the people of Ammon, the people of Ammon helped the righteous Zoramites and gave them food, clothing, and land. We also read how Alma teaches about faith and the Word of God. Alma taught the Zoramites about faith. He said those people who ask for a sign before they will believe do not have faith. Alma said faith is believing that something is true without actually seeing it. He explained that faith grows as a person wants to believe and listens to the Word of God. The Word is then planted in the person's heart, and like a seed, it starts to grow. As a person learns more about the gospel, the seed sprouts and keeps growing. The person knows that the seed is good, and his or her faith grows stronger. Alma said that just as good seed produces good fruit, the Word of God brings blessings to people who have faith.
I'll seek the Lord early while in my youth, and He will help me to know the truth. I'll search the Scriptures and find Him there, then go to our Father in fervent prayer.
Children at home, please turn to chapter 30, Alma Counsels His Sons.
Alma was unhappy because of how wicked the Nephites had become.
He talked to each of his sons about living righteously.
Alma told Helaman, his oldest son, to trust in God. He told him about the angel
God had sent to tell Alma to stop destroying the church.
For 3 days, Alma had suffered because of his guilt.
Then he remembered his father's teachings about Jesus, and he knew his sins could be forgiven.
Alma prayed for forgiveness, and joy replaced the pain in his soul.
He was forgiven because he had faith in Jesus Christ and had repented. Since then, Alma had taught others the gospel so they could feel the same joy he had felt. God had blessed Alma because of his trust in God.
Alma gave Helaman the sacred records and told him to continue writing the history of their people.
Alma told him that if he kept the commandments, God would bless him and help him protect the records.
Alma also told Helaman to pray every morning and night and talk with God about everything he was doing so God could help guide him.
Alma was happy with his son Shiblon, who had been a brave missionary to the Zoramites. Shiblon had remained faithful even when they had stoned him. Alma reminded Shiblon that the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ.
Alma then encouraged his son to continue teaching the gospel.
Alma's son, Corianton, had not kept the commandments.
He had not been a faithful missionary while teaching the Zoramites.
Because of what Corianton had done, the Zoramites would not believe Alma's teachings. Alma told Corianton that people cannot hide their sins from God and that Corianton needed to repent. Alma taught his son that everyone will be resurrected, but only the righteous will live with God.
This life is the time for people to repent and serve God, Alma said.
Reminding Corianton that he had been called to be a missionary, Alma told him to return to the Zoramites and teach the people to repent.
Alma and his sons continued teaching the gospel they taught by the power of the priesthood.
Alma teaches his sons by first telling them the story of how he learned to repent. Why had Alma been suffering for 3 days? Anders?
Because he was doing the wrong thing.
And because God kind of punished him for lying about the things about the church.
Tiana?
Because he was persecuting the church.
Indeed. Anyone else have a comment on that? 3 days of suffering, that's a lot.
Because he had done the wrong thing. He was bringing the church down and not helping it by teaching the right thing.
Yeah, what was he feeling on the inside? What was that feeling?
It was kind of like he was kind of like in a darkness, like he couldn't get out. It was kind of like he was in a coma. He was in a sleep and couldn't get out of it. It was just a darkness.
Yes, he was feeling guilt, a lot of guilt. What did Alma do so his pain could go away?
He repented and said sorry about what I have done to Heavenly Father.
That's right. How did Alma feel after he had prayed?
He felt happy.
Megan?
His soul was filled with joy and happiness instead of the pain that he was feeling.
Mm-hmm. Why did Alma want to teach others the gospel after he had that experience? Daisy?
Because he wanted to help Heavenly Father because he knew that it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. TJ?
He wanted to make up for what he had done in the past.
Sure, I'm sure that was definitely part of it. Megan?
He wanted to have everybody else feel the joy and happiness that he had felt.
Absolutely. Alma passed the sacred records to his son, Helaman, to continue writing the history of their people. Why was it important for Helaman to keep the records or scriptures? Daisy?
So that we can have them today and read them and know what's right.
Yes. Tiana?
So we can learn more about the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Megan?
Because if he didn't keep them, they probably would have gotten lost or destroyed somehow so that we wouldn't have the scriptures today to learn about.
Mm-hmm. So how can the scriptures help us to return to live with Heavenly Father? Daisy?
They can help us and guide us in our everyday lives.
They really can. Mason?
If we know more about him, then we'll have lots of faith in him, so then we can go back to heaven. Because we believe in him.
Yeah. Daisy, what did Alma teach Helaman about prayer?
That you should pray every morning and night and whenever you need help.
Mm-hmm. So when should you pray, Megan?
Any time you need to, any day, anywhere. And kind of back to the main question, he told him about prayer because you can repent about your sins that you have done.
Mm-hmm. Right. What can we talk with Heavenly Father about through prayer? Tiana?
We can talk about anything that we need to.
Indeed. Why was Alma happy with his son, Shiblon? Megan?
Because he had been a strong missionary to the Zoramites even when they stoned him.
Yeah, that showed a lot of bravery and faith and courage. Tiana?
He had remained faithful and he kept true to the church.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. How has your obedience to the commandments brought happiness to your parents? Just like this. Mason?
Well, they're just happy that I've been following the commandments because when they know I'm following the commandments, they know that I can go and live with Heavenly Father again.
Megan?
My parents are really happy because when they know that I'm keeping the commandments, they know that I'm a good girl and that I can be trusted and that I know that they know that they'll be able to see me again because I keep the commandments.
They probably also know you're more likely to be safe. Tiana?
Well, if you think about it, Heavenly Father is our dad, pretty much. And so when he sees us keeping the commandments, he knows that we'll be able to return and live with him again.
How was Corianton different from his brothers Helaman and Shiblon, Anders?
He was really not righteous. He never made the right choice, and he wouldn't obey, and he wouldn't follow the commandments and do what Jesus Christ would do.
Daisy?
He didn't try hard to convert the Zoramites into the church. He just kind of was like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. TJ?
Like Daisy said, he didn't try as hard as he should. And since he wasn't trying as hard as he should have, he was kind of teaching them a little bit of the wrong things.
Yeah. And when exactly? So when you're not trying hard, you're not really keeping the commandments, especially when you're a missionary. Well, how does that affect the people you're trying to teach? How did his unrighteousness affect the Zoramites?
When Alma came along and he tried to teach them what was right, they wouldn't listen to him.
Why not, Mason?
Because they really didn't feel the power of God and they're all like, nah, this isn't true. None of it's true, but it is true.
Mm-hmm. Megan?
He didn't teach them at all to do the right things. And so then he comes back to them and says, you know, repent. It's the right thing to do. So they're kind of confused and saying, what do I do here? So they're kind of lost.
Yeah, and maybe they think you guys are hypocrites. Here, your own missionary was being bad, so we don't have to listen to you. TJ?
Well, they think that, oh, if we convert, we'll just be practically doing the same things, just be following a different religion. We don't have to obey differently.
Yeah, that's a good thought. That's true. So in what ways may our choices affect others? Megan?
People, they watch us and they watch after us. And so the things that we do and our integrity, which means we act the same way even though people aren't looking. It means like you're a nice girl and then when nobody's looking, you'll cheat. It's not like that. You're like, you're a good girl all the time. So it affects them by the way you act. If you're a good person, then they'll be inspired to be a good person as well.
Sure. Tiana?
Maybe if they know that we never cheat, we never lie, we never do anything that would put us into harm, we don't do drugs or anything like that, they'll wonder who are we? And then they'll learn about the church, and then they will become converted.
So you can be an example. You can either be a good example or a bad example, right? Daisy, did you have a comment?
I was just going to say that if you're a bad example, people are, if they look up to you, then they'll be like that too, and they'll not do the right things.
Absolutely. Who in your life is an example of someone who makes righteous choices? Who are some examples of that? TJ?
My brother, because he's on a mission.
Awesome. Megan?
I have my parents, my brother, my older brother, I've got my grandparents, my cousins, my whole family. They make righteous choices, so I have a lot of people that I can look up to.
That's great. Anders?
I have two cousins. One is on a mission already, and one just got his mission call. And I have my mom, my grandparents. I have like she said, I have my whole family to look up to.
So think of these people now. How do their choices affect you? TJ?
Well, my brother's choices makes me want to go on a mission, too.
Wonderful. Daisy?
Like if it's someone you look up to and they set a bad example, you might say, well, it's okay if I do that, but it's really not, and you should still try your best and do what you think's right.
Mm-hmm. Megan?
By the way that the people that I love and they act, it makes me feel like the choices that they make, the Holy Ghost is proud of them and opens a door to a wonderful experience that they can do, and then they'll make another good choice and another door opens and so on. So it makes me feel like I want good things to happen in my life, so I'm going to make good choices like them.
That's excellent. What are some of the choices you have to make, Megan?
Like in school, whether or not you should be mean to a kid, or when you get older, whether or not to do drugs or to go to church this day or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Tiana?
If you want to read your scriptures every night or pray, or maybe you're like in your bed and you're like, oh, well, I'm tired and I'm comfortable, but I don't want to pray or read my scriptures. But when you do, you will be blessed.
Mm-hmm. Daisy?
Some people have to make the decision if they want to go on a mission or not.
That's true. How can the Holy Ghost guide you in making the right choices? Anders?
The Holy Ghost can help you by telling you if you're in school and you're doing a test, the Holy Ghost can help you not, like when your teacher's not looking, to cheat by looking at somebody else's paper. The Holy Ghost can help you by not cheat, or and can he can help you believe in Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father.
Okay, Megan?
If we do good choices, he'll open more doors to us, and if we do bad choices, then he'll keep those doors shut and wait for us to work on what we did wrong and repent.
Tiana?
Maybe if we're confused about if I'm supposed to be at this place or not, then the Holy Ghost will help you be able to know that this is a place that you're, that it's okay to be there, or that this is not a good place. You have to leave immediately.
Okay, so what if you make the wrong choice? What can you do to make it right? Daisy?
If you hurt someone's feelings, you can say you're sorry and repent to Heavenly Father and ask for forgiveness from him.
Absolutely. You can repent any time. How do you feel after you've made something that you did that was wrong right again?
You feel so blessed that you can have that opportunity given to you.
Mm-hmm. Megan?
You can repent and ask for Heavenly Father's forgiveness and go say sorry or do anything to the person that you were or that you made a bad choice.
You know, one thing I feel when I repent is free. I feel free inside. Like before, when I'm making the wrong choice, it's like a heavy burden that sits on my back and it makes me feel yucky on the inside. But when I repent and pray to my Heavenly Father about it, I feel open and free.
There's a right way to live and be happy. It is choosing the right every day. I am learning the teachings of Jesus. They will help me and show me the way. Choose the right way and be happy. I must always choose the right. Through the gospel I learned to be prayerful, to have faith, to repent, to obey. And I know if I live by his teachings, I will truly be happy each day. Choose the right way and be happy. I must always choose.
You are listening to Scripture Stories. Children, please turn to chapter 31, page 85. Captain Moroni defeats Zerahemna.
Zerahemna, the leader of the Lamanites, wanted his people to continue hating the Nephites and to make them their slaves.
The Nephites wanted to keep their land and their families free. They also wanted to be free and to worship God.
Captain Moroni was the leader of the Nephite armies. When the Lamanites came to fight, Moroni and his armies met them in the land of Jershon.
Captain Moroni had prepared his army with weapons, shields, armor, and thick clothing.
The Lamanites had a larger army, but were scared when they saw the Nephites' armor. The Lamanites were wearing very little clothing.
The Lamanite army did not dare fight Captain Moroni's army. The Lamanites ran into the wilderness and decided to attack a different Nephite city.
Moroni sent spies to watch the Lamanites. He also asked Alma to pray to the Lord for help. The Lord told Alma where the Lamanites would attack.
When Moroni received Alma's message, he left some soldiers to guard Jershon and marched the rest of them to meet the Lamanites.
Captain Moroni's soldiers hid on both sides of the river Sidon, waiting to trap the Lamanite army.
A battle began, and the Lamanites tried to escape by crossing the river, but more Nephites were waiting for them on the other side.
Fighting harder than they ever had before, Zerahemnah and his army killed many Nephites. The Nephites cried to the Lord for help.
The Lord strengthened the Nephite army. The army surrounded the Lamanites, and Moroni ordered the fighting to stop.
Moroni told Zerahemnah that the Nephites did not want to kill the Lamanites or make them their slaves.
Moroni said the Lamanites could not destroy the Nephites' faith in Jesus Christ.
He said God would continue to help the Nephites fight as long as they were faithful.
Moroni ordered Zerahemnah to give up his weapons. The Lamanites would not be killed if they promised never to fight the Nephites again.
Zerahemnah gave Moroni his weapons but would not promise not to fight. Moroni handed the weapons back so the Lamanites could defend themselves.
Zerahemnah rushed at Moroni to kill him, but a Nephite soldier hit and broke Zerahemnah's sword.
Then the soldier cut off Zerahemnah's scalp, put it on the tip of his sword, and raised it into the air.
The Lamanites would fall as the scalp had fallen, he told them, unless they gave up their weapons and promised never to fight again.
Many Lamanites placed their weapons at Moroni's feet and promised not to fight. They were allowed to go free.
Furious, Zerahemnah stirred up the rest of his soldiers to fight. Moroni's soldiers killed many of them.
When Zerahemnah saw that he and all his men would be killed, he begged Moroni to spare them. He promised never to fight the Nephites again.
Moroni stopped the fighting and took the Lamanites' weapons after they promised not to fight the Lamanites left.
So why did the Lamanites want to fight the Nephites? TJ.
They wanted to make them their slaves and take all their land and riches.
Yes. Why were the Nephites willing to fight? Daisy.
Because they knew that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ were on their side.
Yes. Why else?
So I don't think they would just go up to the Lamanites and say, okay, here you go, you can have all of our things. I think they would rather fight for it so they could keep it.
All right, Megan?
And they were kind of fighting for their liberty, and they didn't want to give up what they had, so they wanted to fight for what they wanted.
Absolutely, and I'm sure all the men wanted to protect their wives and children and mothers and everything like that too, huh? Why are our homes, families, and liberties and church worth fighting for, just as it was to the Nephites? Anders.
Because they are all important to you. You don't want to lose all those. If I was to lose my family, I would fight for it. I don't want to lose my family.
Wonderful. What do you value enough to fight for, you personally? What would you fight for? TJ.
My family.
Daisy?
My family and the church.
Mason?
My family and friends.
Megan?
I'd fight for everyone in my family, and I'd fight for my country's freedom.
Anders?
I'd fight for my country, my family, my friends, the church.
How did Captain Moroni prepare his army to meet the Lamanites at Jershon? TJ.
He gave them thick clothing, armor, and shields, and lots of swords and spears.
Thank goodness, huh? Why did this preparation frighten the Lamanites, Daisy?
Because they just had a little bit of clothing and not very good weapons, and it frightened them.
Yeah, I think if I were wearing next to nothing, and I saw a guy in armor coming towards me, I'd feel a little unprepared. So in what ways can you put on the spiritual armor of God and be prepared to stand for what is right? Just like the Nephites put on their armor, real armor, their physical armor, how can we put on our spiritual armor? Anders.
Read the scriptures, say your prayers, and actually think about Jesus Christ. Take the sacrament, go to church, and keep your mind, heart open for what Heavenly Father has to say to you and think about good things, not bad things.
Mm-hmm. Megan?
You can, like, if there's something bugging you in school or something that you don't like, you can pray to Heavenly Father for help and open your heart so that he can put the armor on you so that you can be strong.
Wonderful. How did Captain Moroni find out where he should send his armies? Tiana?
He asked Alma to pray to Heavenly Father for help, and Heavenly Father told Alma where the Lamanites were going to go attack.
Was that a good idea? Mm-hmm. To ask the prophet? Yeah. Anders.
If they didn't know where to attack, they wouldn't have put guards in front of Jershon, and Jershon would have been destroyed, and the Lamanites would have been made whoever lived in Jershon their slaves. Mm-hmm. So they put guards there in case anybody attacked, and then they knew where the Lamanites were going to attack.
Definitely. Now, in these days, how can the prophets help us? Daisy?
They can tell us things that Heavenly Father and Jesus want us to do, because Heavenly Father and Jesus tell the prophet their words, and he tells them straight to us.
Wonderful. What did Captain Moroni's army do to receive strength and courage to fight? Mason?
They prayed to God to help them and give them strength.
Wonderful. How can prayer help you to put on the armor of God? Tiana?
Because if we need help, we can ask Heavenly Father, and he will help us, and he will put on our armor of God.
That's true. After Moroni had surrounded the Lamanites, what did he do that showed he was not a man of bloodshed, that he wasn't just a bloodthirsty killer? Daisy?
He told them if they put down their weapons and promised never to fight the Nephites again, they wouldn't hurt them and they'd let them go.
Why did the Lord deliver the Lamanites into the hands of Moroni's army? Megan?
Because he knew that they would be ready to fight them, and he knew that they would give them a choice whether or not to stay and fight or go and be free.
Mm-hmm. What promise did the Lord make to the Nephites and to us if we are faithful?
That we can be able to live with him again up in heaven.
What happened when the angry Zerahemna would not make the oath of peace? Daisy?
Moroni gave back his weapons, and then he was going to try to kill Moroni, but then someone stepped up and cut off his scalp.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the Lamanites who covenanted not to fight? Megan?
They gave them their weapons, and they were let free. They could just go and not have any of more of this fighting.
Wow, that was really nice of Moroni. Why is it important for us to keep promises and covenants, just like Moroni? He kept his promise.
So that we'll be able to become closer to Heavenly Father, and that we'll be able to listen to him and know what we need to do to live with him again.
Yeah, and so people can trust us. Children, as we put our trust in the Lord through prayer and keeping his commandments, he will guide, strengthen, and protect us. We've learned so much. I hope we'll all thank Heavenly Father in our prayers for all he taught us. And I hope we'll keep talking about the things we've learned with our families and other people we love. Next week, we'll read Chapter 32, Captain Moroni and the Title of Liberty, and Chapter 33, Kingmen versus Freemen. If you'd like to listen to this program again, a grown-up can help you get a copy to play on your computer, iPod, or other music player at radio.lds.org. You can also sign up to get new episodes as soon as they're ready. If you'd like your own copies of the Scripture Stories as books or DVDs, you can find them at scripturestories.lds.org, or a grown-up can buy them at your local church distribution center. See you next week.